eCatra podcast conversations for the curious essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of eCatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here, as always, to unpack complex topics, look at the key sources, and really pull out the essential insights you need today. And today's topic, it's one we often think of as, well, maybe science fiction, robot ethics.
Yeah, but it's really not sci-fi anymore, is it? It's very much the here and now. We're focusing today on Mark Kuckelberg's really important book, Robot Ethics, A Mirror for Humanity. And our mission, I think, is pretty clear. Let's maybe stop worrying about, you know, robot overlords taking over the world and actually get down to the ethical problems that AI and automation are creating right now, today.
That's exactly it. That's the hook for you listening. This isn't just some abstract philosophical debate. We're talking about things like algorithmic bias in hiring who gets the job, smart devices, maybe like the one listening to you right now, and what they mean for privacy in your own home. Automation changing the very idea of a job or a career, and even, at the most serious end, the morality of handing over decisions about warfare to machines. Kuckelberg's book gives us a framework to understand these changes, and importantly, to do it quickly but properly.
Because if we don't start thinking about the philosophy behind the tools we're building, well, we risk letting the technology itself dictate our future, rather than, you know, our own values and wisdom guiding it.
Okay, so let's get into the thinker behind this framework. Who is Mark Kuckelberg? What makes his perspective on robot ethics so, well, different?
So he's a professor of philosophy of media and technology at the University of Vienna. Very distinguished. A major voice in the whole ethics of AI conversation globally. But the key thing, really, is his background. He's a continental philosopher. He didn't come up through, like, engineering or computer science.
Right, and that's a really crucial difference, isn't it? If he's not primarily focused on the technical side, not telling us how to build the robot better, what does that philosophical lens let him see? What might, say, an engineer miss?
Well, it lets him ask the why questions.
Yeah.
And the what if questions.
Yeah.
So instead of just looking at what the machine does, technically he's exploring how this technology is actually reshaping human life, our morals, our social connections. His whole approach forces us to see that technology isn't neutral. It never is. It's always packed with the values, sometimes the biases, of the society that made it.
Okay, and that leads us right into the core idea of the book, which is just brilliant. He calls it the mirror thesis. Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, the central idea is basically this. When we talk about robot ethics, we're not really talking about the machines. We're actually holding up a mirror to ourselves. We're looking at our own human values, our social structures, our flaws.
Yeah.
Debating AI morality becomes essentially a way of doing human ethics. The robots just show us who we are, warts and all.
That's fascinating. So the problem isn't necessarily the tech itself. It's more that we haven't clearly defined our own values. Like, if we struggle to agree on what good human care looks like, how can we possibly design a good care robot?
Exactly. And that's why, because he focuses on us, on human society, Kuckelberg pretty quickly dismisses the most famous solution out there, Isaac Asimov's three laws of robotics.
Yeah.
He basically says, nice idea, charming even, but ultimately they just don't work.
They fail because the real world isn't black and white, right?
Yeah.
It's full of gray areas, moral ambiguity. You can't just have a simple set of rules handle those incredibly complex dilemmas, like the famous self-driving car problem where any choice causes harm.
Precisely. The real world is just too messy. So instead of giving us simple rules, the book acts more like a map of the essential, difficult questions we need to grapple with. He takes us from basic concepts, what is responsibility, what counts as personhood, through to the areas where robots are having the biggest impact right now. Autonomous weapons, work, privacy, care robots.
And the big question hanging over that map is, how should we, as humans, use these incredibly powerful tools to build a society that's actually just fair and, you know, meaningful? It puts the responsibility squarely back on our shoulders.
Okay, let's dive into some of those specific areas he maps out. Starting with what might be the trickiest legal and social knot he discusses in Chapter 2. The responsibility gap. So think about a complex autonomous system, maybe a self-driving car or an AI diagnosing medical conditions. When something goes wrong, something catastrophic, who is actually responsible? Who's to blame?
Yeah, this is the nightmare scenario, isn't it? If a self-driving car crashes because it hits some weird, unforeseen situation and made a bad call, who do you point the finger at?
Well, the usual ways we assign blame just fall apart. You can't really blame the user. If they were just, you know, sitting there as instructed, you can't really blame the programmer entirely. They couldn't possibly foresee every single weird edge case. And you definitely can't blame the robot itself. because, well, it doesn't have moral agency. It can't be held accountable in a human legal sense.
So the brain just gets sort of spread out across this whole network, programmer, manufacturer, user, the AI itself, until nobody is really meaningfully responsible.
Exactly. It's not even a bug. It's almost a feature of how these complex systems work. And it means we seriously need to rethink our basic legal ideas about agency and accountability. It's a huge challenge.
Okay, so the law is playing catch up on accountability. But let's shift gears. Just the sheer number of these systems everywhere creates a different kind of problem, maybe a quieter one. Privacy. Kokelberg tackles this in Chapter 3.
Mm-hmm. Robots, if you think about it broadly, are basically mobile sensors that interact with us. Your smart speaker, security cameras, maybe even the robot vacuum mapping your living room. They don't just see and hear. Some are designed to interpret our emotions, track health data, learn our routines, our intimate lives.
And Kokelberg argues this isn't just about keeping secrets, is it? He says privacy is fundamental to being human.
Yeah, it's essential for autonomy, for intimacy,
for
democratic freedom even. If you feel like you're constantly being watched, even by a machine, you start to self-censor. You behave differently. You lose that freedom to just be, to experiment, to be spontaneous, without worrying how it looks.
Okay, let's turn to Chapter 4, work. This is maybe the most immediate worry for a lot of people. Will a robot take my job? But Kokelberg pushes deeper, doesn't he? He asks about the philosophical side of automation.
He does. He asks, what does work actually give us? Is it just income? Or does it provide dignity, a sense of purpose, social connection? Because if automation takes away a lot of the tasks people do, the big risk isn't just unemployment. It's potentially massive inequality wealth gets concentrated, and huge numbers of people might be left without meaningful ways to participate in society or the resources to live well.
Right, and that's where you hear discussions about things like universal basic income or huge retraining efforts. The real challenge is how to maintain human dignity and social participation when the economy is changing so drastically.
Now, moving from, say, the factory floor to the battlefield, Chapter 5 tackles what might be the ultimate moral delegation: lethal autonomous weapon systems, LAWS, or killer robots.
Grim name, grim subject. The core question is stark. Should we ever hand over the decision to take a human life to a machine? Opponents bring up that responsibility gap again. Who's accountable if an AI makes a mistake and kills civilians? But even more fundamentally, they argue it undermines the laws of war themselves. Those laws rely on human judgment for complex ideas like proportionality, distinguishing combatants from civilians. Can an algorithm really do that? It fundamentally questions the value we place on human life and human judgment.
And then finally in Chapter 6, he brings the focus right down to the most personal level. Robots designed for care, sex, and love. Things like Pello, the robotic seal used in therapy. The big question here is about authenticity and maybe deception.
Yeah, it's really tricky territory. On one hand, is it wrong to offer a simulation of care or companionship if it genuinely helps someone feel less lonely, especially, say, the elderly or people with dementia? But then there's the risk, isn't there? Does it devalue real human connection? Does it reduce the messy, demanding, but maybe essential human-to-human contact? Does it risk objectifying relationships? We're forced to ask, what makes a connection truly meaningful?
All these specific examples, they all feed back into his main philosophical points. So let's try and pull out the three absolute key themes, the main takeaways Kokelberg wants us to understand.
Okay, number one has to be that core idea we started with. Robot ethics is a mirror for human ethics. Every single debate about what a robot should do or shouldn't do is actually a debate about our own values. Like when we argue about killer robots, we're really defining how much we value human judgment in life and death decisions.
That's it. The tech just reflects us back to ourselves, our values, our biases, our priorities as a society. It often highlights the flaws we already had rather than creating totally new ones.
Okay, theme number two. This is a big shift, he proposes, the relational turn. He says we need to focus on how we interact with robots, not get bogged down in their intrinsic properties.
Right. Stop asking the impossible questions like, is this robot really conscious? Or does it feel anything? That's maybe unknowable. The ethically important thing is how we relate to the robot. And crucially, how does that relationship shape us, our character? If we start treating a humanoid robot cruelly, does that make it easier to be cruel to other humans or animals? It shifts the focus from thinking about robot rights to thinking about human duties and virtues.
That feels much more practical, actually. We might not agree if the robot deserves rights, but we can definitely agree on how we should behave around it to maintain our own humanity.
And the third key theme, beyond science fiction, focus on the near-term problems. The book is really a wake-up call about the issues that are here now. Algorithmic bias and decisions that affect lives. Privacy being eroded daily. Automation creating real economic inequality. We have to tackle these concrete problems today because the choices we make, or fail to make, about them are already building the foundations of our future society.
Okay, to really make these ideas stick, let's touch on a few memorable lines or core statements from the book, the kind of things that really capture his way of thinking.
All right, here's the first one, which really nails the main thesis. Robot ethics is a mirror that reflects our own humanity, our values, and the kind of society we wish to create.
That just completely reframes it, doesn't it? It stops being just a tech problem for engineers in Silicon Valley and becomes a deep philosophical and social challenge for all of us.
Exactly. Okay, next, capturing that practical challenge we talked about. When an autonomous system fails, we face a responsibility gap. Our traditional concepts of blame and accountability break down.
Yeah, that sums up the huge legal and practical headache facing our institutions everywhere. How do we manage accountability when decisions aren't made by a single human, but by these complex distributed systems? We need new answers.
And one more, linking back to that relational idea. We should shift our focus from what robots are to how we relate to them. Our interactions with human-like robots shape our own moral character.
I like that one. It gives us something concrete to do, doesn't it? Focus on our behavior, the kind of person we want to be, even or especially when we're interacting with technology.
So, okay, big ideas. How does someone listening actually apply this stuff? What are the real-world applications?
Well, for consumers, maybe it starts with asking critical questions before you buy that next smart device or sign up for an AI service. Like, what data is this thing collecting? Who gets access to it? Does using this align with my values about privacy, about autonomy?
That's a good point. And for professionals, people actually building or managing this tech.
Kokelberg's work points towards something called value-sensitive design. It's urging engineers, designers, business leaders to think beyond just efficiency or coolness factor. Ask the hard questions early. How could this be misused? What are the potential long-term social impacts, like job losses? Build ethics in from the start.
And maybe the biggest application for everyone.
I think it's about becoming an informed citizen in this debate. This book gives you the tools to move beyond just being a passive user of tech. You can become an active participant who understands that your views on AI, on data, on automation, these are actually really important political stances now. They shape the rules we all live by. Don't just let the tech happen to you.
Yeah, participate in shaping how it's governed.
So my final takeaway from this deep dive, what really struck me was the power of that relational turn. It was kind of surprising to fully grasp that robot ethics isn't just about defining rules for machines. It's fundamentally about defining ourselves, our own character. If we're careless or cruel in how we use tech, we risk becoming careless and cruel people.
That's powerful. And my final thought, maybe a bit provocative, is this. Kokelberg makes it incredibly clear that the future isn't set in stone by technology. It's not predetermined. The solutions to the biggest ethical challenges, things like ensuring economic justice in an automated world or fixing that responsibility gap, they aren't just going to come from better code or smarter algorithms. They require social change, political action, new laws, maybe even new social contracts. We have agency here. We can steer this, but we have to engage, like right now.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.